after a grueling 3 months of nothing but negativity on Flyers Twitter. Welcome back to The Bright Side, the podcast about positivity. I am so happy to be back with you all. I am Joshua Bright, as you all know. I'm joined today by Jim from High and Wide and Flyer Shawnee, also from High and Wide. Start with you, Jimmy. How you doing, my brother?
Dude, I'm psyched. I'm psyched to get this show back on track. Not much positive positivity to talk about this year for the Flyers. So it was a weird season to have a show called The Bright Side, but we're back. We're going to be talking some positive things. And, couldn't be a better first show back with you and Johnny here.
Yeah, I think we had enough negativity. I think the perfect time for a hiatus for anything positive was when the world was on fire and everything is shit, you know? So we're back. Johnny, good to have you back, brother. How you feeling?
I appreciate it. I just want the expansion draft to happen already. I'm eager.
Yeah, I'm sick of talking about it after 2 years. So expansion. Let's get our thoughts on. I think we're kind of all on the same page of who's going to get protected. So obviously Giroux and Hayes have the no movement clauses. Konechny would get taken in a heartbeat. Oscar Lindblom would get taken in a heartbeat. And he's already confirmed that they're going to cover those guys. And then it would come down to Scott Laughton and unfortunately Nolan Patrick. Are we all on the same page with that?
100%. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So I just want to get your thoughts. So leaving exposed is Voracek, who we've already had conversations about. Chuck Fletcher leaving him exposed and, you know, giving him the heads up. Van Riemsdyk being exposed. Shane Gostisbehere. Jim, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts? Who are you hoping the Flyers get the shed from the salary and why?
I hope they're able to get rid of Voracek. And it's because I want him to go to a place where he's happy, a place where he can win, a place where he can thrive. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care about any of that. I want the cap. I want $8 million off the books, you know, plain and simple. You know, if we're just talking pure money, you move the most out so you can bring, you know, the most in. Aside from, you know, the intangible reasons that, you know, in my opinion, Voracek somewhat hurts this team. Or maybe not even that. Maybe just the team as a whole needs a new voice. And, you know, you change the culture over a room by moving one of the bigger voices. Whether he's positive or negative, you know, we're 10 years into this Voracek thing. It's time for change.
I agree, Johnny. So what are your thoughts on expansion?
Well, I have a similar thought to Jim, but I want $7 million off the books. I want JVR gone. And there's a reason for that. I think the on-ice product of Jake Voracek is, one, more valuable. And two, if we were to retain Jake Voracek, I think he could bring more on the trade market. So you could still get rid of that $8 million, but in exchange, you can probably get another asset that would be, you know, as equivalent to what Jake would bring, maybe at a lower term or a younger age. So that's my reasoning for probably protecting or for wanting Jake not to be taken.
So let's go with your scenario, and let's say Seattle takes James Van Riemsdyk. Do you think there is a trade market for Voracek? And you'd think he'd want to go to a contender. What contender do you think in a flat cap era could make an $8.25 million contract work?
Oh, that's such a good question. I wasn't even thinking a contender. I was thinking of Vladimir Tarasenko.
Honestly, I mean, St. Louis is somewhat a contender.
I mean, they're a little older. I wouldn't say. I mean, I guess they're still in contention. But yeah, I mean, my sights were on Vladimir Tarasenko, and then maybe Morgan Frost and another piece to maybe try to swindle over Vladimir Tarasenko. I think Jake still has value, you know, in a trade market.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that Jake Voracek would make any team better. It's hard to imagine in a flat cap era that like a team that really wants to win would be able to afford a cap like that. I would think like a team that's kind of on the fringe that could maybe move money in for money out. Like let's say if Arizona wanted to cut ties with Oliver Ekman-Larsson and they're on similar deals and they're both players that have been struggling the last 2 years, like that could be an even swap.
No, definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, when it comes down to it, you want to have an equivalent. I mean, you don't want to have an equivalent kind of cap hit, but I think that's what's going to have to happen in order for a trade, you know, to happen, whether it be JVR or Voracek. Preferably, I mean, it's interesting you bring up Ekman-Larsson because his name's been floating around recently and what's called about his, you know, struggles defensively and things like that. So that could definitely probably be a viable option. To kind of solidify the defense a little bit with a little bit more experience.
I have a question about Ekman Larson real quick, because I, admittedly, I don't watch a lot of Arizona hockey. Can he play on the right side? Does he play on the right side, Josh? Is this why his name keeps coming up? Because I keep hearing Ekman Larson. I'm like, the Flyers need this guy. I mean, I know they need a guy, you know, that can play on the power play and who doesn't like points, but can he play with Provorov?
I'm sure he could adapt. I don't know offhand if he plays the right side, but
he's a left-hand shot.
Yeah, he's a left-hand shot. I don't know if he's ever made the switch. I think Arizona has maybe just Jacob Chychrun and Jason Demers on the right side in Arizona right now. But I think I'm stuck in kind of the old days of remembering Giroux in the All-Star game back in 2016 saying that Ekman Larson was the most underrated player there. And every game against Arizona, him being the biggest piece of shit on the ice, just getting under people's skin. I really, really, really like that guy. It's just, I think he's kind of gone down, but no, it'd be worth the experiment if you're moving Voracek's contract out. I don't know how much term Ekman Larson has left. I know Jake has 3 years, but I think he just
signed an extension.
He did. All right. So there's maybe less incentive to do that.
He's 2 years younger, I think, than Jake. I think he's 30.
Okay. All right. So it's a bit realistic. On the topic of expansion, Jim, I'm going to put you in a scenario. Hmm? So let's say you're Claude Giroux or Sean Couturier, and you have your contract coming up next year. And in expansion, you are leaving Voracek and JVR unprotected, but you see a guy, Nolan Patrick, who didn't contribute very much last year, getting protected. If you're Claude Giroux or if you're Sean Couturier and you're a leader on this team, how would that make you feel?
So are you asking me this question because I'm the old guy on this show? Huh? Because I would understand. <just kidding. laughs> No, I think you have to understand that it's also a business. And I would assume that being the captain on this team, you know, having the clout that Claude Giroux has, you know, within the Flyers organization, if you're going to make these choices, I'm assuming that you're letting Claude Giroux know that this is what your plan is. And, you know, he's either going to disagree, you know, give you his 2 cents, or he's going to give you his blessing because, hey, at the end of the day, it's a business, right? And, you know, if you're protecting a younger kid like Nolan Patrick, it's because, you know, I mean, you're trying to change the face of the team, not the face of the franchise, but you're trying to change some pieces of this team. And how do you do that? Well, you know, Jake Voracek's making $8 million, whatever it is, for the next 3 years. And, you know, with that contract around, we're kind of stuck in terms of being able to bring in talent and whatnot. If you're keeping a guy like Nolan Patrick around for the sole purpose of including him as extra in a trade or something like that, you know, your intentions are to move both. So, you know, it all depends on how Fletcher told him what his plan is and whatnot. If his plan was, hey, we're looking to move both these guys, this is why I'm protecting him, this is why I'm not protecting him. It's one's to move salary, the other one's to throw in a trade to bring in another player who's, you know, maybe making close to what Jake's making, but he's better. Who knows? So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, bottom line, the short answer is, hey, we want to help you win. We want to help you win quicker. This is how we got to do it.
Jim, do you have any thoughts? Or, Johnny.
Well, no, actually, I do.
There's too many J's in the podcast.
just as the fact that Nolan Patrick is protected, I don't necessarily think that means he's safe technically. My hope for him is that he does have a full season of training under him this offseason, comes back, is a little healthier, in more game shape, and produces a little bit to begin the season. That's very optimistic. It's very naive of me to say probably, but maybe kind of create that more value for him and then potentially move him in a deal further along. From a veteran perspective, like you were saying with Couturier and Giroux, I think they understand. Like, they got to understand at this point it's a business, and in order for this team to be competitive, maybe it takes one of their, you know, better friends on the team, someone who's been the team the past decade, to get moved. And I think they're professionals. I think they got to understand that because it's true. It's true. You need a mix up. You need, if you can get a better, younger, or, you know, maybe an equal talent player for longer term on their contract, and that's younger, that would ultimately, I think, help the team. Because, like, if you think about it, like, when you're up at a certain age, you know, you don't care about, you know, giving up assets to win now. I think you have to be more invested into win now. So if Jake were to get traded for a prospect or something like that. I think they'd have a problem with it, but I think they understand what's going on too.
Yeah, well said by both you guys. So continuing on with our expansion talk, Chuck Fletcher did a press conference a few days ago where we got a whole lot of GM speak and not a whole lot of juice out of it. Coincidentally, later that day, he happened to pop on the Snow the Goalie podcast. You know, Russ does our, he's performed on HW a few times, real good friend, good sources. And he had a real good interview with Chuck, and Chuck was very transparent in a lot of things he said. And an interesting little tidbit out of that podcast was Chuck Fletcher mentioning that he's had conversations with Rod Francis already, which I'm sure we've all known. We're sure like there's been, you know, sweeteners to take a certain player or, you know, their thoughts. But he did mention that, you know, Seattle may be enticed to take a player from its team that they don't necessarily may think may fit on their club, but instead to flip him to another team. So are there any players that you see in this market that are going to be left unexposed? And I know we've talked about one already that you think the Flyers could maybe flip, or Seattle could flip to Philadelphia to, you know, to help their roster and help Phillies.
Johnny, I'll let you take this one first, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's later reports that Mark Giordano would be left unprotected. He has 1 year left at his, I think it's $6.75 million, if I recall correctly. 37 years old. I think he won a Norris in 2019, and he won that at 35. So I don't think age is the issue with this play. I think he's a top four defenseman that can contribute in all scenarios on the ice. It'd be a great buffer to put with more erratic defensemen, like either whether we keep Phil Myers or Travis Sanheim. It would just all depend on making the cap hit work. He is what you need to fit the bill, but at the same time, you got to make it work financially. So that's where I'm at. I think Mark Giordano would be a good addition.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say I love the thought process there, and I wanted to get Jim's take on, you know, what Giordano could bring to the team.
Dude, he brings veteran leadership. He won a Norris Trophy a couple seasons ago, right? So, I mean, the guy's a professional. He's been around forever. I'm not saying he's going to replace Niskanen in terms of style of play, but, you know, I mentioned earlier, I think changing the voices, the leadership voices in the locker room – is almost as important as, you know, acquiring a top two defenseman or, you know, a top six sniper. I think changing the voice, because after a while you start to tune guys out. And if you listen to the last couple shows, you mentioned we had Russ on. Russ mentioned something like, and I hate to make it sound like I'm ragging on Voracek here, but he made it sound like if Voracek was to go, some people wouldn't be mad at that in that locker room, right? And, usually if you're an outspoken guy, some guys enjoy that. You know, they like that kind of style of leader. And other guys, it kind of pisses them off a little bit, right? If you're not consistent yourself, if you're not playing, you know, top-level hockey every night, it's kind of like, you know, this guy's got a lot of room to talk. So I think bringing in a guy like Giordano would be good for the locker room. He brings in an outside perspective, right? Kind of like Niskanen did. And I'm going to be honest, because up to this point with Chuck Fletcher, like the creativity is just non-existent with him. I've said it many times. And I didn't even consider, you know, looking up guys on one-year deals who are going to be left unprotected that Seattle could take. And those are prime targets for the Flyers right now. If they're unable to make these big moves, and Seattle, you know, grabs a Mark Giordano, and you go, hey, we'll give you this, this, and this for Giordano, and you retain half of his salary or whatever. Like, that's genius. Like, yes, let's get creative, and let's do that. I would like that. I would applaud the creativity, even if I didn't like the player, because it's like, all right, he's trying. He's got a pulse.
The last time Chuck Fletcher tried to get creative with an expansion team, I think he gave up Alex Tuch for them to take Eric Halla, but – if you don't learn from your mistakes and you don't keep, you know, getting up to the plate and swinging, I agree. I think he should get creative with it. Let me pose a question on the subject of Giordano. Do you think he fits more in the top two role that we're looking for or the veteran top four D role that we've been looking for? I'll start with you, Johnny.
Ooh, both work. Putting him next to Pro, I don't know what, is he a right-handed shot?
Left-handed
shot. I think he can play both sides anyways. I think he played with TJ Brody and another defenseman that I think he plays both sides. But I think putting him, well, if you put him next to Provorov, you know, like I said, I don't think age is a factor with him just because he's shown to be more productive in the latter half of his career than he was in the first half of his career. Kind of like Benjamin Button in reverse. But you know, it's like, it just depends on how many minutes you want him to play. He's a guy that can contribute, like I said before, in all scenarios. I don't know how much on the power play he played in Calgary, but I know he was on the penalty kill. And I think that that was a struggling part of a big, like, contribution to how poor we played last season. So, yeah, I would say probably more the top tier role, if ideally, just because I know he can handle it. He has the experience, and I think he would be a good fit to Provorov, allow him to play more aggressive, allow him to take more chances where you have that stay back partner, like kind of like Niskanen last season.
Dude, real quick, Mark Giordano, guess how old he is?
37.
Damn good. And
I mean, I wasn't a guess. But.
Oh, you knew already. So he's going to be 38 by the time next season starts, October 3rd. Does that worry you at all? I'm looking at his last two seasons here. And he won his Norris in 2018-19, 17 goals, 74 points. I mean, that's like forward numbers. He would have outscored any forward on the Flyers, I think. I don't know. 31 points in 60 games last year. Of course, you know, it was a normal year up until game 60. So if we're looking at just purely numbers here, it was a down year for him. And in last season, which we know was an odd year, especially if you're playing up in Canada, right? I don't know. His numbers, I guess they bounced back a little bit, but they're still down as far as Mark Giordano numbers.
Well, you know what? In terms of offense, right? Because I think
I'm looking at the 2 years leading up to his Norris and 39 points, 38 points, and the Norris kind of comes out of nowhere. I mean, I hope they checked him for PEDs or something.
The CEO VPO.
Yeah.
I think on your question, Jim, I think I'd be comfortable with Giordano on the team if we struck out on Seth Jones and Dougie Hamilton, and there is not a single top two option available for trade that the Flyers are not comfortable to swing at. I think, like, let's say Morgan Riley's available in Toronto. I mean, he's not a right shot. Or, you know, I don't have another name for you, but another top guy's available and the Flyers strike out on all of that, then Giordano is their option. But all those balls are in the air and we got about a week till this happens. And there's like a 3-day window where it's all going to go down. So
yeah,
Doc's going to have his phone charged all night right on his bedside and ready to go 7 a.m.
Sure. I was about to say that how much it's such a disadvantage having the expansion draft in the beginning of the offseason, because if you want to make a deal like that for Giordano, it kind of like I know, like, given that the salary cap doesn't take into effect until the season starts, but you have to, like you said, you only have such quick turnover to kind of decide whether you actually want to commit to a guy like Giordano and give up assets to Seattle in exchange for them taking Giordano so early in the offseason when so many options are still available after the fact. So that's also where Chuck Fletcher is completely handcuffed.
And it sucks also for the whole backup goalie position, because we're seeing like Chris Dreiger, Jonas Korpisalo available, and Seattle's going to have those guys exposed to them probably. And the Flyers can't take a swing on them before expansion because you lose one of them. One of those guys would probably get taken. So it's really not advantageous in Philadelphia's position. So we're going to have to wait till the NHL draft, which I hear Johnny's done some research on and has some names for us.
Just a little. Well, I just want to touch on what Chuck Fletcher said in his press conference a couple days ago, where, you know, Josh, we talked about this for a little bit, but how he said, you know, best player available is still the motto going forward. And even if that's a goalie with Wallstat and Kasa being there at 13, I personally haven't done much research on either of them, but a couple guys that I do like, I really like, I forget how to pronounce his name. It's like Chad Lucius. He's got like the best shot in the draft. He's one of the best forwards in the draft. Personally, that would be my pick at 13. Just given the fact that we haven't had that pure goal scorer since Jeff Carter, Simone Gagné, Danny Briere, that type deal.
Yeah, Johnny, I hate to break it to you, but any goal scorer that's in the draft, Flyers are passing on.
Did that happen before in the past couple of years? I can't remember. Did someone, I don't know. I was just about to say, I don't want it to end up like, yeah, I'm not even going to say it because it's a positive podcast, but yeah, that's a tough one. But no, I just want your guys' opinions on goalie at 13. What are we thinking?
Dude, I'm still laughing.
What did Brent Flair say? Your needs change, you know, so you have to go BPA, right?
Yeah, he said that they've continuously gone BPA over the past couple of drafts. They skipped over Cole Caulfield and selected Cam York. So in their mind, that could have been the best player available at the time. But, yeah, he said that if a goalie is there at 13 and he's the best player available, like, I personally don't know how you can do best player available when they play different positions. That is wild to me. If you do best player, like, if you were to say best player available at a certain position, at a forward position, okay, like, you have a clear direction. But, like, comparing guys that play different positions that you need different things for in the NHL, that's wild to me. And yeah, I don't have an opinion on Kasa or Wallstat, like I said, just that I haven't done the research on them, but I hear they're if they're good as advertised, you know,
maybe I think you have a 1A, 1B. Brent Flair's full shit. I hope we trade it. Like, well, because anybody's going to say, yeah, we're going to take best player available, but the truth of the matter is, 2 years ago when you had a similar pick, you didn't take the best player available. You traded back two spots, right? And you took somebody else. So it's like, that's not true. You're going to take the best player available. You're going to wait for a goalie needy team to give you a call, and you're going to trade the pick, right? And I kind of hope if he still has the pick by the time they're supposed to pick, I'm going to be a little disappointed. Because I want him to move the pick in a larger deal, right? With Frost, with Myers, with whoever the hell else we named in the show so far. Like, they said it. Like, from the impression that I got was Flair wants to keep the pick, right? Because he's the draft guy, I guess. Fletcher sounds like he wants to move it. And I'm all for it. Move that friggin' pick. We don't need another goalie. We don't need another defenseman that's going to take 6 years to, you know, bloom or whatever the hell they do. If there's not a guy that's going to score 40 goals in this draft that's going to somehow fall to you at 13, trade the pick. Go get a guy that can play now. Excuse me. Go win Claude Giroux a cup. You owe it to him to at least, you know, make a run at the cup. And you're not going to do that with the 13th overall pick drafting Sebastian Kasa. All right? Even though I'd love another Paisan on the team, it's not going to happen. Get rid of the pick.
Amen. I got no disagreements.
What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not as plugged in with this draft as I have been in the past, because I was expecting the Flyers to be a good team, and I haven't looked at a draft board since we had like roster turnover and Fletcher took over. So I don't really have any prospect that like pops up enough to the point where, you know, I'm kind of hesitant about moving 13. I heard Brent Flair mention this is like a 8 to 9 player draft. So unless a stud falls, which I don't know who that guy is, I mean, you're probably looking at trading back or trading the pick. And if we're trading the pick, it's, you know, it's got to be a Seth Jones, a Vladimir Tarasenko, or a big name trade. It's got to impact the team positively. Like, I just don't want to throw away first round picks for anything. But, you know, there's so many names out there that we don't know about that haven't even been reported yet. So I think Fletcher's on the phone. I think he's doing his diligence, but yeah, I don't want to take this pick. I mean, I don't want to wait 4 more years for Isaac Ratcliffe to be struggling in the minor still, you know?
Right.
I want to get a good fucking player and be a good team.
Right. And like I said, I'm like, it's the same thing with the expansion draft. You only have an X amount of time before you have to make a decision with that pick. I mean, you can look at it and say, yeah, he could have traded it before or, you know, whatever. But truth of the matter is you have 10 days to decide what you need with that pick. And that's just not a whole lot of time. I don't know whether a deal could be done. He might be communicating with teams whether, you know, if a certain player is available. I'm sure they have a contingency plan going forward, like within the draft. But, I personally have no interest in keeping that pick. Because there's no prospect that I would really want.
The cupboards are full, Chuck. Ron stocked them up before he left. You don't need any more anything else in the cupboards, all right? Just go get some NHL players and let's win some games.
Right. And like, and like a typical offseason situation, you want to, like you said, Josh, if a player comes up that's not already reported that you don't know is available, you want to be liquid enough to react to that and have the assets available to make an offer at that player. And I just don't see that happening in this amount of time. Like, I really want them to trade the pick. I don't know whether it's plausible so close to the draft. But we've seen draft day trades before. So we'll see. It's just time is not of the essence.
Get her done.
So, boys, I got a little question for you. Vladimir Tarasenko listed Philadelphia on his list of teams he would like to play for. Unfortunately, he also listed every other team in our fucking division, so it doesn't matter. I just think he wants to play on the East Coast as opposed to the West. But, you know, you got a guy who Johnny rattled off some numbers earlier, but has scored more than 30 goals for, I think, 5 to 6 straight seasons. He's had a shoulder injury since his Stanley Cup run. He's had 3 surgeries, so 3 times under the knife trying to repair this thing. So far, unsuccessful. It seems like he's really fed up in St. Louis and wants a change. Do you think this is a worthwhile risk for Philadelphia? I mean, they're obviously going to look at his medical records. Are you all in on Tarasenko, or is there a limit to what you're willing to give up?
Okay, John.
No, I wouldn't put him at my first option to trade for. Obviously, I'd like to make a run at a guy like Reinhart or other options that might be on the trade market before him, just because that mush shoulder is such a concern. Specifically, like you said, like 34 games in the past 2 years. However, scoring at least 33 goals before that. So he fits the Flyers need to a T when he was healthy. And it's just a matter of fact that if they do trade him, I don't think his value is going to be low as it is right now. And I think we discussed that earlier, where we were debating whether Phil Myers and Morgan Frost is a fair price for him. So what would you guys think about that? Phil Myers and Morgan Frost, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that and I'm like, I don't know how this makes sense. Unless Tarasenko really is like beat up and the shoulder's like never going to be the same again. That's the only way that it makes sense. But in that case, it's like, well, St. Louis is going to have to retain salary here. Because unless the Flyers are able to move a big contract in like JVR or Voracek, they can't fit in Tarasenko, Like, there's no way they're going to bring in Tarasenko, keep the team as is, and still sign 2 defensemen, right? So when you look at it like that, it's kind of better like, okay, maybe we should just, not make this trade. I'm not sure how much value Frost has right now. So if they're looking at that, this is kind of where it's like, Patrick and Frost, they haven't really developed properly because you still don't know what you have in these two guys, right? And Frost and Patrick. So at the same time, it's like, well, if you're giving up a center, now you need a 3C because that's where Frost was supposed to play, right? And Patrick. I don't know. I think let's say everything was perfect. If we knew what we had in Frost, we know what we have in Myers, Tarasenko's shoulders, fine. Right. And he's going to come back. He's going to score 30 goals a year. I'm making the trade. I'm doing it. But like I said, there's going to be a domino effect. You're going to have to move some salary around pretty quick.
Yeah, I'll throw a little curveball here. So Vladimir Tarasenko was a prolific goal scorer. We don't know if he's quite there yet, but another name has popped up on the circuit via Craig Custis at The Athletic that Vancouver is open to shopping Brock Besser.
Yes.
Does that name entice anybody?
Yes. 100%. I love him. Bomb of a shot.
He's young. He's American, baby.
Bring him home.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there you go.
Amazing shot. Amazing hair. I mean.
What more can you ask for? I mean.
Great name.
He's like a more skilled Scotty Upshaw. It's ridiculous. It's great.
So I'm looking at numbers here, and yes, he's yet to play a full season. He's yet to play 70 games in a year. I think the last 2 years he was healthy, though. I mean, obviously COVID affected both years. 20 goal scorer, 3 out of 4 full seasons. Full seasons he's played in the NHL. Has yet to score under 45 points. So I think he's got a high ceiling. I mean, a high floor, but his ceiling I don't think has been touched yet. Okay, I think this is a 30-35 goal guy. I think he's got the potential. He's got a bomb of a shot. He's a shoot first player, 24 years old. People are going to compare his numbers to Konechny's, I think. Konechny's 23 and could easily put up these same numbers. I don't see any issue having, you know, two Konechny's. I think Besser's a little bigger, 6'1", 208. That's a big boy. I think they need bigger guys that can get to the net. If you could find a way to bring in Brock Besser, I'm for it.
So you said he has a high ceiling and yet to be unlocked. So do you think that could happen in Philly? Because when I watch him in Vancouver, I mean, he was playing with Elias Pettersson and JT Miller on steroids. I mean, that one season he had, I don't know, 80-something points. I mean, he was playing on a line with one of the two best players in hockey that year. And, I mean, I don't know his numbers exactly, but do you think, you know, playing alongside Giroux or Couturier at their age, like he – There's a bigger ceiling than playing with, you know, a generational talent and some dude from Florida.
D, you make a great point. And, you know, looking at the Flyers roster right now as is, I mean, everybody plays well playing next to Couturier, right? But he's not the ideal centerman, I think, that's going to, you know, raise Besser's game to where I think it could go. If that makes sense, like if you guys watch the games. If you're playing with Couturier, he makes everybody better on his line, offensively, defensively. You know, when they play with Couturier, they're scoring more points. Yeah, I think Besser could, you know, his numbers could, they could be better playing with Coots, but I don't think they'll reach where I think they could go. I mean, he's almost a point per game guy the last 2 years, 49 points, 56 games. 45 points in 57 games the year before. I'm looking at even the 2 years where he got hurt, 56 points in 69 games, 26 goals, 55 points in 62 games, 29 goals in his rookie season. The guy can put the puck in the net. You got to figure out how can he get more? Because he can, I think. I don't know. That's my two cents. I'm a huge Brock Besser fan, as you can tell.
Yeah. I think what you said about Couturier and making the players better on the ice, that almost makes me more confident in a buy low scenario with Vladimir Tarasenko. You know, I've sold myself on this idea the past few days of having, you know, Giroux and Couturier on the line doing all the heavy lifting and Tarasenko just fucking firing away from the slot whenever he gets the puck. I mean, we are a team of 12 forwards and 11 of them are pass first. I mean, yep. Farabee and if Wade Allison makes the team look like the only guys who are willing to take a shot on a 2-on-1. So whether it's Besser, whether it's Tarasenko, whether you want to really try to see if Mike Hoffman has anything left. I mean, if you can get a guy that can shoot the puck, I mean, I'm all for it. What about you, Johnny?
No, I concur. Like if Tarasenko can come, like, well, I want to convince myself that he should be, because he's the only one that is outwardly has like the Flyers in that scenario to actually like trade for him. There's actually substance there because we're on his 10 team, you know, trade list or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. But so I think that should be the guy to be excited about. It's just, you want to hold out and just that shoulder bother. It just bothers me too, like, especially with the cap hit. Brock Besser is available. I still don't think the likelihood of him getting traded is all that high. To me, like I like Besser personality-wise more than Konechny, but to me, they're pretty equal, if you ask me. I think it's a pretty lateral move. The only reason, like the thing is, I think to get Besser, you have to give up Konechny. In most trade scenarios in my mind, that's why I don't think it would make too much of a difference to get Brock Besser, other than for like namesake, I think he's a little bit more touted. But at the same time, like Josh said, like he's been playing with Pettersson and JT Miller. And to the point of, you know, Sean Couturier, I think Couturier can elevate him so much, like much as he does with everyone else. I think Couturier is that center that can actually elevate him to go higher and higher. Because I think he has so much gravitational pull on the ice, Couturier, to where his vision and playmaking ability is so strong, especially if Giroux's there too. You know, it's tough to kind of think that wouldn't absolutely help him get to that 80-point mark.
I think he could. I think Besser is a talent that's only scratching the surface, to be honest. And, you know, maybe they're saying the same thing about Konechny up in Vancouver. You know, I don't know. Like, I wish I watched more of Besser, but, you know, every time I do watch him, all I see is this frigging cannonball of a shot. Like, it's such a heavy shot. And I love it. I need it. I want more of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to Johnny's point, if you're doing a TK and Besser swap, I mean, it would hurt me because we all have Flyers bias of really being fed up with Konechny after a down year and a bad playoff run. But if I'm thinking of a guy who in Besser, who is a little bit more shot heavy versus a guy like TK, who he can shoot. We've all seen him come down the right wing on a break and fire it. But, I think if I'm going for a guy who is more shoot heavy, yeah, I think he fits the Flyers mold a little bit better. And if I'm not mistaken, was Besser taking two picks before TK in the draft or something like that?
He may have been. Hang on. I have it up right here. So Besser was taken 23rd overall in 2015, and Konechny was taken
24th, right?
24th in 2015. yeah, it looks like Konechny's played in a couple more games here. 349 games, 219 points. And let me just go back to Besser here. 253 games, 210 points. So he's played in a lot. Is that right? He's played in 100 less games?
Well, he's never played a full season.
Yeah, he's had a lot of injury issues.
Konechny's gotten a couple injuries, but he's been pretty healthy since I think he has one more. I think he got called up in a year before. I think Konechny played in 2016. Becker played in 2017.
Yeah, I think he stayed in North Dakota an extra year, if I'm not mistaken, before he came to Vancouver. I think that's the numbers.
Yes, Konechny's played in almost 100 more games, 96 to be exact, and has 9 more points. That's pretty crazy to me. I didn't think it was that much of a difference. And for what it's worth, Besser has 3 more playoff goals and 5 less games. So
that's worth all the money in the world to Philly. And the fans are salivating hearing that.
A whole 3 goals, yeah. Yeah, that would have made a huge difference in those 9-0 games.
Yes.
Even though those weren't playoffs, but still, you got my drift.
Hey, I like Konechny for whatever it's worth. For as much crap as I talk on Konechny, I like the guy. I like the player. I'm not sure. You know, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully he gets one more shot in orange and black in the playoffs to prove me wrong. But, you know, you go 16 games, you don't score one time. It's kind of like, hey, dude, I don't know if you can score in the playoffs. That's not a small sample size to me. 16 games is a lot. That's a quarter of a regular season.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think Rush Joy has convinced me to give him more lenient – or for last season. Not – like I'm looking retrospectively. Looking forward, I anticipate him being – a more productive player, much as I do Oscar Lindblom and hopefully Nolan Patrick. Like all three of those had a pretty down year last year, but the two were obviously coming back from injuries. You obviously got to give them a little bit more leniency. But with Konechny's situation with his pregnant girlfriend, yeah, like that's when he explained it to me and explained that much in depth. You could tell that maybe he's had communication with someone who had communication with Konechny, and it had to have been bothering him all year. The fact that and who could blame him? Like that's. So, yeah, I'm going to be a little bit more lenient towards Travis Konechny in that retrospect, but he better pick it up at the beginning of next year.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. With confidence, I think I could say, you know, Lindblom and Konechny are going to have better seasons next year for sure.
Yeah, Russ's story about Konechny, you know, having a kid during the pandemic and all those issues, that really got me to think a little bit, like, Konechny could have a good rebound once he's a little stress-free and, you know, there's not a worldwide pandemic. And
yeah.
I know we said the same exact thing last offseason, but having Konechny with fans in the building is different than having Konechny in a bubble. I mean, you know, they feed on that fan energy. And Philly, once we allowed fans back in, we were a disappointing team at the time. And, you know, the fans were in it, but it wasn't the loudest barn in hockey. And, you know, it wasn't the environment Konechny is used to. So I'm not down on Konechny. I'm not throwing him in any trade proposals unless it's for a superstar generational talent. I mean, I believe the guy is going to hit that, you know, 60, 70 point, 20, 30 goal plateau again. And I think he can do it consistently. It's just, we need to see it.
Right. I think I had, if I remember correctly, my trade proposal was with Konechny and it was for Jack Eichel. So unless it doesn't have to be for Jack Eichel, but if it's for a guy like Matthew Tkachuk or along those lines, yeah, I'm pulling the trigger easily.
That would do terrible things for Matthew Tkachuk.
He is exactly what this team needs. Grit, he is scoring ability, playmaking ability, PK, penalty, or power play. He is literally the complete package. I can't say enough about him. That is my number one guy for this offseason. Yeah, that's not Jack Eichel or Seth Jones.
Yeah, I'm not a strip to see guy, but Kachuk's the captain in Philly if he comes here, you know.
Oh my God, easily.
That'll get some attention tomorrow,
I'm sure. blow it up, put it on a headline.
So strip two things for me. So as down as I was on Konechny, and you know, all along, even before I knew whatever he was going through with his wife and kid or whatever, you knew he was going to bounce back next year. Like, I don't think the Konechny that we saw this year was Travis Konechny. And then, you know, finding out what we had found out, it's like, all right, well, I guess that would affect the guy. And, you know, he wouldn't be playing 100%. So I expect a huge bounce back season for Konechny. I think, you know, he's got a little bit of an asshole in him. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's kind of one of those guys, like, you know, like everyone's busting his balls. He's going to come out and score 70 points next season, right? Wouldn't surprise me one bit. I don't think it would surprise anybody if he put up 30 goals or sniffed it. And I'm a little bit surprised. You know, there are guys out there, who are putting Konechny in trade proposals who I didn't expect, you know, to be done with Konechny, you know. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was our buddy Dan Silver that, you know, was ready to move. And this was before we knew what we knew about Konechny. So, you know, maybe knowing what he knows now, maybe he wouldn't trade him. I'm not sure. But, you know, he's ready to trade him. And I didn't expect that from Dan because, you know, Dan's a guy that, you know, when he knows that we have the talent, he's a little bit more patient. I'll say that, right? He's not as much cutthroat as some of us are. Like, oh, this guy had a bad year. Let's can him. But, hey, guys are ready to move on from Konechny. And a little bit surprised. I'm not there yet. Like I said, believe it or not, I like Travis Konechny, but he's got one more shot to prove that he's the same guy in the playoffs for me. So would I trade him yet? Like Johnny said, I would only move him if it's bringing in a top center, because I think that's what this team needs. Hey, if you can bring in a guy that's going to score 40 goals, then yeah, maybe if he's the right fit. Because if we're talking to Patrick Laine, no, I'm not going to move Konechny for Laine. If we're talking about a healthy Jack Eichel, I think you absolutely have to consider it, and you're going to have to add in more. But I like Konechny. I think he's a good player. Whenever I'd go to live games, Konechny's the best player on the ice for the Flyers offensively. He's fast. He's a lot faster in person than he is on TV, I'm going to tell you that. I mean, all the guys are. But Konechny's a fun player. He just has to do it in the playoffs is what I want to see.
I don't think I would be as okay with moving Konechny if Farabee didn't have the year he just did. Yep. If Farabee was still, you know, a fringe NHL player, or even like a 10-10, 20-point, you know, still figuring his way on the league guy, then I'm not touching Konechny. I just think if you have a guy like Farabee in the wings, it opens up the possibility to fill a need elsewhere, where this team is so stacked on the wings, hypothetically, and so thin down the middle, shockingly, after we just spent 10 years focusing on it. And, you know, thin on defense after he just spent 6 years stocking the cupboard on it. You know, I think I'd only move him for a superstar talent at one of those positions. But no, I'd definitely not move Konechny willy-nilly. I disagreed with Dan Silver a lot on Twitter last year all over those Konechny issues. I wouldn't do it personally.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because he's more patient, you know. And, you know, I guess he's had enough. People are angry after last season.
Right.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, no, I mean, with that being said, like, just kind of like not making a big transition, but if we can trade Konechny and bring in another center to have Kevin Hayes as our third center, as he should be, then that would, make me more convinced. Two, Jim, I would trade Konechny for Laine. Just so that's on the record, 100%, oh, okay. 10 times out of 10. We need a goal, like a solidified goal scorer, and he is it. Like, that's just another example of that. Like I said, you know, but we're being positive on Konechny, so I'll ease up on that. But if Konechny can bring us a number one or number two center, that would be awesome. Because I think if we have Kevin Hayes as our number two center still, that is a huge issue if we plan on being a contending team.
I think that's true. And so the next thing is, you know, who do you want to bring in? I mentioned on a couple shows now, you know, Sam Reinhart is a name for me that I think is intriguing, because I don't think we've seen his peak yet in Buffalo. You know, the talent, I mean, excuse me, sure, you can bring up Jack Eichel, And they've had guys sporadically in there, but let's say you bring in a Sam Reinhart and you surround him with guys like maybe Konechny, Farabee, Van Riemsdyk, who else plays on the left side, Lindblom. Maybe he's able to elevate his game. Maybe you found another 60-point player for, you know, a little bit cheaper than you would if you had to trade for a Jack Eichel or whatever. Don't get me wrong. I'm on the Jack Eichel bus. I want to watch Jack Eichel play every other night, every Tuesday, Thursday, and whatever they play Saturday. I want to watch this guy play more than I do Sam Reinhart. But I think Reinhart is more realistic. So it's like, go get him. And you know, they need a center. You know, all this, don't get me wrong. Like, if you can bring in a Tarasenko, that's great. But he's not a position, we need the goals, but it's not a position of need. In my opinion, if they can go out and find a 2C, and now you're working with Kutz, whoever it is, and Hayes down the middle, you're deep. I mean, this is what they were shooting for in Alain Vigneault's first season. That's what we were talking about. It was supposed to be a strength of the team, right? The center depth. That's what makes you hard to play against. And now we're looking at the center depth, and they're in the same situation they were two, three years ago, right? They have a 1C and a 2C, and then it bottoms out. They got nothing. If they can find a way to get a Kutz, and let's just say it's Reinhart and Kevin Hayes, you're going to be pretty tough to play against. You got to worry about three lines. Like, let's just say it's Hayes, Allison, or Farabee, whoever you want to put in. That's going to be a tough third line to play against there. And if they can't bring in an Eichel, that's how they're going to have to win. If they don't fill out three lines, it's going to be similar to what we saw last year if they don't bring in an Eichel.
I concur.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And if I'm not mistaken, Sam Reinhart played what, like 10 games at center last year and played decently well, I think, after.
Oh, okay.
He filled in a little bit at center, but.
So it's not his natural position?
Not his natural, no. He's a winger, but he can play. So he's the same thing like as Blake Coleman. They both have taken faceoffs, but not at the quantity that you'd want.
All right, my stance there a little bit, actually.
I mean, he can play center. I mean, it's more like a, I don't know, like it's weird when you think about it because Giroux is one of the best face-off guys in the league.
But he doesn't play center.
But he doesn't play center. Like, it's strictly a positional thing. So,
all right.
Yeah. And I don't blame Jim for bringing up Reinhart at center because besides Eichel, there's no prolific centers available on the market right now. You know,
all wingers,
Christian Dvorak's the only decent name I've heard, and that's a guy from Arizona who's
maybe Monahan.
Yeah, if it's been really, you know, under wraps what Calgary is going to do. I mean, they keep talking about making monumental changes, but we don't know if that's Monahan, that's Gaudreau, if that's just leaving Giordano exposed. If we're talking about centers, the only name that really entices me is Dvorak from Arizona. And speaking of Arizona, a name that's come out a little bit recently, and that's kind of interesting to me because he played some center in college. He's only played wing in the NHL, but he's one of my favorite players, and he's been called the little Claude Giroux, is Clayton Keller. And he's a guy I would give up the heavens and earth to get Keller on Philly. He's been really disappointing in Arizona. He had maybe one or two good seasons, but he's played center in the past. He hasn't in Arizona, but I don't think Arizona knows much about player development or deployment for that matter. So it's just another interesting name in a market that has very few impact centers.
Right. No, he kind of reminds me of Danny. He's a U.S. development kid, right?
Sure.
Clayton Keller. Yeah. No, I think I remember watching him in World Juniors. I feel like the U.S. development program has that one guy every year, whether it be DeBrincat or Keller or Jeremy Bracco one year or whoever, like
Farabee.
Yeah, I think it's a Farabee. But no, I'm a fan of Clayton Keller. I just don't know if he actually like on like legitimately being shopped.
They didn't say they made him available, but teams have been calling about him, and Arizona has been reported to be taking calls on everyone not named Jacob Chychrun. So, you know, that opens up a lot of possibilities to
right.
One add Keller, or you know, if you want toughness, a guy like Lawson Krause, you know, it Arizona's open for business and they're trying to shed a lot of money from what I've heard. So they need to make it happen.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to wrap my head around what they would want, whether it be prospects, picks, or position or actual NHL players, because I have no idea what the direction is. But Clayton Keller is definitely a guy that he can. He's a good. Because I don't know much about him. He's a good scorer, right?
Oh yeah, he's been a little bit disappointing the last 2 years. But I mean, everything in Arizona has been disappointing in the last 2 years. So
right,
yeah. I'm not holding.
That's 2 years. 2 years. Oof.
They made the playoffs what, like 2 years ago?
They did. They made it in the bubble. They were a bubble playoff team.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean they've already been reported to shipping out Ekman Larson and Kessel. They're going to lose their starting goalie and Darcy Kempfer, and I don't know who the hell they've got in the wings. So they're obviously not in contention. And besides Chychrun, I mean, it looks like a full rebuild. So I would assume if they're trying to get assets, they want picks, they want young players or prospects, which that's what Philly has to offer. You know, I don't want to be offering young forwards who have an impact like Lawton or Konechny. I want to give you picks, I want to give you prospects, and I want to steal your best fucking player.
Right.
So
That sounds like one of the names. Oh, you got it, Jim.
No, I just have a little bit of homework here for Keller. So he comes with a 7.15 cap hit until 27-28, and he has a no trade clause starting 2024 and a no movement clause starting 2026. So if they are going to trade him, they have to do it within the next couple seasons here. Some quick stats real quick for Clayton Keller. It's been pretty consistent as far as numbers. His goals have dipped since his rookie season. 23 goals he scored his rookie year for 65 points. And since then, he has 47, 44, and obviously in a shortened season, 56 games, he had 35 points, but probably would have beaten his previous two season totals the year before. 7 points in 9 games in the 2019-2020 playoffs, 4 goals in 9 games. So he knows where the net is, and I'm sure if he's another guy, if he had better line mates, we'd probably see increased numbers.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not, kind of like a buy low candidate, that's 100% good in our favor too. I mean, yeah,
especially if they're looking to move salary, 7.1, that's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's all about whether you kind of have faith in Chuck to kind of do cap gymnastics a little bit and get creative.
I don't.
Which shown the inability to do, but no, it's like it seems to me that Keller is that name we were alluding to earlier that isn't making a lot of noise right now, but could be kind of later on in the off season, depending on how the expansion draft and the NHL draft go. So that's definitely an intriguing name to me.
It is
for sure.
Yeah. So coming up soon, what is it? Today the 15th. We're 2 days away from the protection list. Did they go public on the 17th?
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll get leaked.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we're 2 days away from the protection list coming out. 5 days removed or 6 days removed from the actual expansion draft where shit's going to get spicy. Then yep. Draft, free agency. Before we wrap up, are there any more names we haven't thrown out here that, you know, we want to talk about or any potential Flyers news that hasn't been reported as of yet?
I just have a quick blurb from the Snow the Goalie podcast interview with Rush Joy that Fletcher did. He specifically said about giving the fourth line an identity, and I love that. Now, there are names. I'm just going to write off 3 names real quick. We don't have to go in depth with this, but Zach Hyman, Phil Deneau, Blake Coleman. Where you guys stand on that? Because there's news that Zach Hyman, like Toronto's trying to trade his rights, kind of like a Kevin Hayes type deal where you give up with like a fifth or a fourth to have exclusive negotiating rights. Now, Hyman is looking for 7 to 8 years. And Deneau just turned down a 6-year, $5 million average salary from the Canadiens, and he's expected to pursue free agency.
I mean, if we're talking fourth line, unless Coleman – I mean, Coleman got himself an extra $2 million just for scoring 1 goal in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know if any of those guys are cheap enough to get on a fourth line. I would take any of those guys any day of the week. Hyman's number terrifies me. So from what I heard, he turned down 8 years, $5 million from Toronto or something of that sort.
Because that's right.
Toronto could be the only team because only the team you're with is allowed to offer you the 8th year. So I would love Hyman. He has a work ethic that no one in Philly except Scott Laughton and Giroux play with every night. Right. I love what Coleman could bring. And, you know, Philip Deneau, there's a lot of like critiques to his offensive game, but he was a Selke candidate, I want to say, the last few years.
Yeah, definitely
did great in the playoffs. But No, I would love to give up fourth line identity. I think losing Tyler Pitlick, and I mean, I'm not going to base the whole season. I know some asshole on Twitter said Pitlick was losing. We didn't go far, but I losing, you know, identity guys like that does suck. A name I would love that could be on the open market. I was listening to the Back Check podcast today with Stefan Rosner, who we had on right before they crushed our hopes and dreams in the playoffs last year, interviewing NHL Rumors Daily, who, if you're not following him, NRD, give him a follow. He breaks some juicy things. Mentioned that Casey Cizikas might not be back in New York next year. And he's been part of the best fourth line in hockey for years. And I'd be all over a guy like him or just anyone that can give these guys identity, because I can't stand another year of watching Knack struggle, you know, watching Raffle be good, whatever he does. Men or Porinski come in, you know, you need a fourth line that's going to grind, that players don't want to play against, and that could match up against good players, like when the Islanders shut Giroux's line down with fucking Matt Martin at center, you know?
Right. No, I've always been a guy that says that the fourth line is no place for AHL skill players, and I firmly 100% believe that it should be something that brings something different that the other three lines don't, specifically checking energy and, like, you know, maybe fighting. I'm not one of those guys that's like rah-rah, more fight, like whatever, but the energy, yeah. Like hitting, yeah. Like that makes a huge difference, whether you can get behind the red lines on the forecheck and wear down other teams defensively, especially in the playoffs when you're playing them 5, 6, 7 times. That makes all the difference in the world, and the fact that we haven't figured that out yet is a little concerning. And the fact that Fletcher said that the fourth line is an identity is very, you know, makes me feel a little bit more optimistic that he will go out and hopefully get guys for cheap, whether that be a veteran too, a veteran with some leadership qualities, that would also work for the fourth line.
There are interesting stuff here, because we are talking about fourth line guys, and I feel like, you know, almost every guy we named here would be like a third line guy, at least for the Flyers. Like Phil Deneau, I know his offensive numbers are, you know, something to be desired, you know, less than desired, especially this past year, just 5 goals in 53 games. I don't know if, as much as I do like the player, I don't think he's the guy that I want for the Flyers, because we're looking for more offense, right? Like, we got Kutz, like Hayes is okay defensively. They play a defensive system already, so you would just assume, you know, through the coaches that the team would be okay. I mean, obviously last year, you know, doesn't prove this to be true, but you would think just because of the style of play, their defensive game would be improved. So I don't think Deneau would be on my radar. For the Flyers, I love the player, so don't get me wrong. I can't believe he's turning down 6 years, $5 million, because he's great defensively, but, you know, offensively, like we said, not great. Cizikas, a guy that if the Flyers aren't interested in, they should be interested in, because he would be the perfect fourth line guy. Right, if he can put the puck in the net, like, believe it or not. But Johnny, like the player that you just described, I think Cizikas is exactly that. You know, he's a great all around player. Can play the defensive side of things, plays a physical game, and he can come down and put the puck in the net on you. Cizikas would be a great addition. Hyman, like you said, Josh, I think, you know, the Flyers, if they're in on him, as much as I would love for him to be in the orange and black, for what he's asking for and, you know, where I think he would play, man, I don't know unless he's got another gear to where he can put the puck in the net 25 to 30 times and still play his style of hockey, then I think it's worth it. If you don't think he can score 25 goals, I'm not sure that I can, number one, give an eight-year deal or a 7-year deal, but $5 million for you know, less than 25 goals is too much for me. As much as I love this player, and I hope he gets paid, but by somebody else.
Right, and for what it's worth, I'm on the record saying that I'm not interested in Hyman strictly because, well, I mean, like you said before, like we have enough two-way guys, and we already play in a defensive system. He's a hard worker. Like, I'm a fan of Hyman. I'm just, like you said, like for what he's asking for, it's not worth it. I'm also not a fan of a guy that hasn't touched 40 points, is 29 years old, and he's been playing with Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares. Like, that's a
good point.
He's been playing on the same line as those guys, and you should be able to touch 40. I would hope you would.
Yeah,
I know they haven't been the healthiest team, but
I love the idea of having an identity on the fourth line. But honestly, at this point, I'll settle for a single identity anywhere, because I don't think this team's had a solid identity in a while. And I would love to just have, whether it's high offensive and risky or just hard to fucking play against, like what Montreal did last year, where Bergevin said, you know, we're not going to be the best team, but we're not going to be an easy out. And look where that took them this year. I would just love to have that type of identity on the team here.
Starts with the GM, dude. It all trickles down. He's the maestro, whatever the guy is with the stick. They're in the orchestra. He puts it all together. So if your GM wants a tough team, he's going to put a tough team together, and they're going to play that way. He's going to get, you know, he brought in the coach that he wanted in Ducharme. You know, he realized that who was the guy before? It looks like Fred Flintstone. Julien.
Claude Julien, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he realized halfway through that, hey, this style of team is not for this coach, and he did the hard thing. He got rid of him. You know, it all starts at the top. So, you know, these next couple weeks are a huge deal for the Flyers and their future.
Yeah. I completely agree. And, you know, we're just over an hour here. So do we have any closing thoughts on this team? 2 days before the list, 5 days before the draft, do we have any, you know, fun things to bring up?
I was going to say, I think we'll have all the fun we can have in a week or so. So yeah, that's when we'll know we'll actually have a true direction as to what's going to happen with this offseason right after the expansion draft, whether we trade the 13th overall pick. I'm super excited. I'm going to stay optimistic. I'm not going to jump off a cliff if we don't get a certain guy, because there's just a ton of options out there. So stay right. Positive.
You're a guest on the bright side. You got to be on brand. We need positivity, optimism.
Stay optimistic. Stay optimistic. Help is going to come.
This is what we do.
Hey, you want positivity? Check out some of Johnny's stuff on hwhockey.net. Awesome stuff on there. Even if you don't agree with some of the stuff, you're going to enjoy it just because of the way he writes. He's putting out great content on the site.
Yeah, good grammar. You can tell he went to college.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thanks. halfway towards a CPA, so we'll see what happens.
There you go. Yeah, we quick plug. Monday we're having our old buddy Marco D'Amico coming on In Case You Missed It, just to catch us up on some draft stuff, because honestly, I have no idea what the hell's going on for the NHL draft this year. Haven't had any interest in it. Don't care about it. If the Flyers end up picking in the first round, I will riot. I'll be so pissed. They have no reason to use this pick, so I've had no reason to care about the NHL draft. So I'm sure Marco, if he's listening to this, he's going to be like, oh, what the hell am I coming on for? So Marco's going to come on, and he's going to tell us all about, you know, what to expect and who's going to go where in the NHL draft on Monday night.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan, boys.
Yep. So,
all right, well, thanks so much to everyone to the bright side again. It's been a long time since we've been able to be positive, but here we are again. We're going to probably reconvene after we lose a player to Seattle, after we trade some picks, after we become a Stanley Cup contender again. Can't wait to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, we'll be back soon with another show. It was awesome hanging out with you guys. You know, it's been too long. Let's not do this again. Let's not wait this long again.
Damn straight.